What is the date today?
August 23rd.
This is August the 23rd, and we're broadcasting the Historical Society meeting from the Birch Park Recreation Room. We're just testing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say one thing. You know, I'm not a farmer, but I've been a merchant in this town since the town was in existence. And, of course, I have plenty to do with the farmers of this valley, too. Well, now, I'm not going to tell you about any grasses, what they can grow here, or anything else, but I'll say this. From the experience that I'll have here is that we can grow anything that they can grow in the western states, and that's saying a lot. Just about as good a grain as they can raise, we can raise right here. We can raise wheat as that makes as good a bread as anybody wishes to eat, because we've had the experience with that heretofore. Now, the history of this particular camp is such, you see, when we came down here, we had been already educated that gold is not found on the street, that if there's a new camp established, everybody has got to devote his own ingenuity to make a camp out of this. And there has been some experiments heretofore in this state as far as agriculture is concerned, but the official time that was really tried out was when the Land Grant College Act was inaugurated in Sitka, and Mr. Jorgensen, he was the first man that was appointed for to try to develop here. Well, there was a couple of stations established. I think one was in Sitka, one was in Katmai, and one was in Copper Center. But the one that was established here, and really, that really made a historical record, was the one that Wickersham introduced in Congress but to establish the Agricultural Act and also include the School of Mines, which Congress passed it, and that's where your university started out with. Well, the School of Mines certainly prospered into a university, but the agricultural section was neglected somewhat by the university, and it just dragged itself along. Well, the first man that was appointed here, his name was Mr. Neal, and he's the man that developed the special wheat that we have got here, grown here in this town, in fact, and then established a mill here upon the dropped flour, which it was really made beautiful bread. And unfortunately, through mismanagement and neglect, the mill was burned up, and we lost the wheat that was developed by Mr. Neal, and which was a record that it always matures in 90 days. If you grow it in the month of June, you can always harvest it in the month of September. And you got a qualified wheat that is mature to make flour out of it. Well, we are trying to develop that wheat back again so as we could maybe establish another mill, because I noticed by the price of flour that is selling now, you know, I have been in the flour business in this camp for 30 years. The highest price that I could get for the gunny of flour, £100 or $6. Now they're selling it for $14. So I think if we energetically try and develop enough wheat so as we could satisfy the people of this valley that we can grow it and mill it, we may probably get the mill again. But that is just the economic history of the agricultural section. But the real history started when this camp was developed. The people that had outside experience, such as a lady by the name of Anderson, she built a hot house on the bank, on the bank of D. Slough, right where the hospital is now, and raised very good crops, and that's what supplied our camp here, because we couldn't chip it in by plane then as we do now, and therefore if you got a good tomato or anything else, we appreciated it very much. The next man was John Shirley. He leased 5 acres from the Noyes grant, that the 10 acres that Noyes got for the establishment of a mill, and he developed the strawberry. Now that took an awful lot of effort. He had to go out every year and every winter for 6 winters and bring in outside strawberries and fuse them with the native till he perfected the strawberry that does not freeze up in the winter cold weather and comes up in the spring again. Well, that was a great achievement. And so then again, Mr. Young, seeing that the camp was developing fast, he staked a homestead right where Bentley has got his machinery and everything, which he bought that. And he raised potatoes. That was the first, really, agricultural garden stuff, like potatoes and carrots and so forth, and of course sold it locally. Well, this Mr. Neal, he was quite an enthusiast for trying out everything, so he developed this wheat, and then he developed that Petrusky turnip. That is one of the finest turnips and sweetest that you can eat. And he also, commercially, he wanted to get enough money because the farm wasn't getting very big appropriations, so he took some of the seed and he shipped outside. And the results brought all kinds of begging that they would take all they had, as much as 10 tons or more, but the government stopped it. They said, Hoover thought we shouldn't be in business at the time, so they couldn't send any more. And that, but still you got the Petrusky turnip, that's a very fine product. Then again, when the little Tantana Valley started, and Falk and Jocelyn, he being the president. So we held an agricultural fair, not as elaborate as you got it here, which it was held in Gordon Skating Rink, which that's the clinic right now, not the Loyal Legion. And the stuff that the farmers or brought up there for the exhibit, and he asked then for permission to take that stuff to Minnesota and exhibit it there in St. Paul, which we got the first prize cup, and I still got the cup. That was in 1911. That it brought first prize in the St. Paul Fair, the stuff that we sent out from here. Well, that gave us more encouragement. And then, of course, there were several homesteaders that staked homesteads, and the most producing one was Edelman, Johnny Edelman. That's the homestead that created Hamilton Acres, because Hamilton was the man that purchased that homestead. And then, of course, it was changed hands again, but that's where Hamilton Acres is on. And at that time, when he resigned, they appointed Mr. M.D. Snodgrass as the head man of the agricultural station here. And he also went into the business element of this, having the turnip and the wheat, so he got the Alaska Road Commission to put in a road, what we call around the loop here. That is from, it starts from the golf course, isn't it? Around to the, and that's where the farmer section goes on, because they were all homesteaders at first cutting off the birch wood and selling it, and then when that was gone, they started into agriculture. Well, they raised very fine stuff on that hill there, and the most prolific farmer we had at that time was Jim McGrath, and another French Canadian, let's see, what was his name?
Picot,
he was a fox, he was he had a fox ranch there, but right across the road from Peacock. I think the bank has got the homestead now. I remember him. He was quite a farmer. Well, anyway, when that road was accomplished, he got the farmers together, and he started in a farmers' association. He got them all there, and he asked them if they would all go in for to grow that particular wheat that the government farm had, that he would donate the seed and see what we could do, what it could be done with it. Well, that year they grew 200 tons. And of course that was a great encouragement to the merchants here. So then we established a mill, and that mill operated for 4 years and made nice flour. But politics always started in. Things didn't go very good at that time because there weren't very many people here to consume it. And the gold production was getting less. That was before this United States Melting, Mining and Refining Company came in. So anyway, the people that got a hold of that stuff, the farmers thought that the merchants were charging them too much commission, so they were going to sell it themselves, and consequently nobody tended to it, and it went by the board. And then the mill burned down. We even lost the ground because the railroad took it, which it was really ours. We bought it from our people. But anyway, that's the result. That's the end of this. Now, but still, the citizens didn't quit. Then we turned around and seen what we could do about raising cattle. So we asked Dan Sutherland, he was our delegate at that time, and he got Congress to donate 20 buffalo as an experimental trial to see whether animals could survive the rigors of these winters here. And they sent us in 20 buffalo, and I think they sent in 20 those musk oxen, and I think about 5 yak or something like that. That was a million animals. Well, anyway, the buffalo was taken out on the Delta, and 18, and then they left 2 for the college, which didn't try very good, so they sent it back out there. And that demonstrates to the people in this valley that animals can live here during the winter and survive very nicely by themselves without the aid of any assistance or anything else. Now, that gave us an idea that eventually that most of that Tanana Valley will be turned into a cattle raising process, which is a good thing now, especially since the camp has grown to so excess in population, that we would have no trouble in selling all the meat that could be sold here at an advantage of over the outside, because we could save the freight, which amounts to at least about 10 cents a pound. So that is the way we've been working here, and that's the trying to experiment and see what it can be done. The only trouble is here the man that developed that, he left this place and went to Matanuska and established a very fine agricultural section there. But nevertheless, as I said before, they may have a fine dairy producing section, but the Tanana Valley is still the granary of Alaska, because I took out a sack of oats and a sack of barley and a sack of wheat and took it to Idaho just for an experiment, and I found out that our oats weighs 12 pounds to the bushel more than what they could raise in Idaho, and the barley the same proportion. As far as the wheat is concerned, of course, I haven't had any results what yield it brought. And if it brings as good as that stand that I've got out here on the McGrath farm this year, I think they'll be highly satisfied. Now that is the history of the agricultural progress that we have made so far. And from, I think, of the younger generation that's coming in with better advantages than we had, because they've got probably about 50,000 people to work on where we only had scarcely five. So I think I've got the hand of this.
And that was the one that you sent out to St. Paul that brought the first prize.
Then we had a small fair every year, but it was not so very significant. But it revived with this Tanana Valley Corporation that has got the up at Phillips Field. Since then, we've had very nice fairs there, but every year there was a fair. More or less, you see, as much as the camp accomplished so. So in 1910, that was the first the agricultural fair that we had here.
What year did you come in here now?
Four. In the spring of four. But you see, between four and ten, you see, we didn't have so very much population here, and of course it was all mining and everybody was busy, but by that time we had Zender producing, and we had Young producing, Stearns and Newcomb producing, Eidelman producing, and if you remember that character Short and Dorothy, he was producing, Spud Martin, and Busby. And unfortunately, that ranch that I bought, that very ranch that the government took away, that was the biggest producer because it was the best developed. And Bismarck, that's Coley. And the next neighbor, let's see, Biermark, yeah, another one. And Rickert, oh, of course.
He came in later.
No, no, Rickert came in early too. He really had a nice ranch, although. And Rickert was a big producer. Well, he was across the road, you see. At that time, you know, the only road we had was straight out to the Tanana, where we used to start out to walk out to all these. So Bismarck was on the left-hand side going out, and Rickert was on the right. They were right in town. But McGrath was a big producer, and Hinckley, he had a dairy, but unfortunately, by gosh, they contacted tuberculosis, and they had to burn the whole 50 cows, and that's when he staked that. Yeah, they burned them right there and burned the barn. The government went came in. And so he staked that ranch there where Charlie Kramer has got. He took it over from. And there was a couple more farmers down on the flat there by the college, you see. I forget the one old man he used to bring in eggs and stuff there. He was quite
Widener. Yeah,
Widener.
Widener, yeah.
Widener.
Widener.
Yes, Widener. And then there was Jones. They had quite a ranch there. Yeah, and of course, and The Richardson, the man that run the roadhouse, he used to produce quite a lot. What do they call him? Oh, I know the name. Anyway, that was about the extent of the
damage. Did Mike do any farming?
Yes. Mike? No, no, he didn't. He didn't do anything. That's the man that brought that little boat down.
I don't know, but he had
hoops
of some sort.
Well, he had it. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yes. And then Klaus Johnson and the Hoffman boys, they were all on the loop, you see. They were all. And Belaine. And there was two more, and Charlie Miller.
On the other side of the other road,
yeah.
Belaine with Mr. Borden.
And Borden. Yeah. Well, of course, they all them farms fell to the treasury of Bunnell.
Yeah.
<all.
laughs> Didn't Bentley come in before he
came? No, Bentley came in here as a restaurant man.
He was a restaurant man.
Oh, no, he was here too. He ran the Buttes, and that burned down three times on the 4th hour. So he had to go as a cook to the model, and he used to haul wood and. He started in with one cow, and he bought out Young's ranch, and then, yes, in Belsaven, there's another one had a ranch, and then he bought Belsaven, and he bought Newcomb's, that's Stearns and Newcomb. So now they are the big rich people, Kramer and Bentley. Worth $1 million apiece, I guess. So that, and there was Frank Bitchard, he had a farm out there on right across from McGrath. That was all the early farmers that was here. The exception, no, that's about all what they call them. That's what started this camp here. But it didn't. I say this now, that I was out scouting around here the other day, and I find out, by gosh, that Jack Horn, Harry Badger, they were there on the, and all that land, from town out to North Pole, it's taken every bit of it, and there must be about a dozen or two farmers there. And that we don't know yet, at least that I don't know their names or anything. Then again, on the other, near Sheep Creek, where, that big man, Alberts, he's got a farm there now. And right on the Still Creek, that, what do you call that missionary that had that here? He went to
China for a long time, and then he came back.
Yeah, and then he came back again. Well, he really was a farmer. He demonstrated that the person, that a family that wants to get in and do like they do outside, all work on the ranch, he made $12,000 the second year. He told me that himself, that he broke the ground and grow all the stuff there. So you see, there is money to be made here in Rochester. But the people here, they don't seem to take to it because...
Speculators.
Well, you said it. That land now that's worth $1,000 an acre, they won't farm any, no. That's what they're getting, $1,000 an acre for that loop ground and right up to where McGrath Ranch is. And they could sell it all for the near, but it doesn't do it on account of Uncle Sam, you see. It didn't cost them anything, and they'd have to give it all back. Yeah. So we don't need to be discouraged as far as our agricultural possibilities are concerned. And there's a bunch of young brothers coming in here. Now, that chicken man, that's an egg man, there's a very, very competent person, there's several others that are starting in back again. But it may take a few years, but there's no question about it. Yes, and there's two big Mormon colonies now, one in Shaw Creek that is raising cattle for the market, and another one right across from the 33 mile, you know. There's a big new road put in there around Isles, and nobody sees, but it's there, you see, right away up to Chino. Oh, a fellow can go around for a whole week looking around there, he can find one. And what's the matter with Doc Weston? He's got a big ranch, too.
What's he going to do there, a horse
race? Eh?
What's
Weston
going to do there, a horse
race? Oh, he don't have to do anything, by gosh. And then make money. Well, I think I'm...
Bob, how old are you?
No,
I'm going to get on the tape.
I'll be 83 on October the 15th.
Thank you, Bob Bloom.